Palestinian film to be nominated for Best Documentary Feature. Five Broken Cameras is a deeply personal first-hand account of life and nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Ahmad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Burnat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, December 8th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today is Mazen Kamsia. He is, of course, with International Middle East Media Center, as well as the Palestinian Museum of Natural History. Mazen is always generous with his time, but today particularly so, as he has a bit of a cold, but that is not stopping him from joining us to remind people that this is a season when people, when all across the world, people lay down arms and embrace. That's what indeed we have arms for, is to reach out to one another and to embrace. It seems that a great many people are seduced by power and sheer opportunity, have forgotten that indeed arms are for embracing, and we do lay them down. There are accounts from the first, from World War One, of soldiers at midnight on Christmas Eve doing just that. Mazen has recently, they've celebrated a Christmas tree lighting in Manger Square, Bethlehem. We have a couple of just really brief headlines, and I wanted to mention those quickly before we get into it. An energy company owned by the Navajo Nation has named an executive whose last project sparked conflict with Oregon tribes. It's this new CEO. This has been going on for a while and bears repeating, and it bears close attention. This could happen. Two officers were injured as a Northern California protest over police killings. This is in Berkeley. Turned violent, the protesters smashed windows. People across the country are still furious about Ferguson, about the failure to indict police officers, the complete impunity with which police go about their way, fully militarized, and leading us to conclude that we really are living in a police state. And it is all due to, of course, the USA Patriot Act, which we still live under. Contaminated waste from a retired coal plant in Rowan County, North Carolina, was leaking into a tributary of the second largest river in that state. And New York's town of Reading, 19 people were arraigned after being arrested for blockading the gates of Crestwood Midstream in an ongoing We Are Seneca Lake campaign. We reported on that frequently. We're going to continue. Vermont State Police announced that all charges have been dropped, yes, against the 64 Vermonters who occupied Governor Pete Shumlin's office to demand the end to the fracking gas pipeline. And in Mexico City, there are horrible images. A man immolated himself. He burned himself with help of teammates. This was an action taken against they're demanding the release of activist Florentino Gomez Giron for half a minute. It seems that it was an eternity, is the report from that place. It's difficult to read this report because it's written apparently under great, great stress and horror. It is the worst ecological disaster in Israel's history. Black rivers of crude oil could be seen flowing across the desert sands in the eastern part of Israel last week. People on both sides of the border with neighboring Jordan were rushed to hospitals. And that that brings us to the Middle East, where other things are happening, and some of them very, very beautiful. Much of this beauty is generated and led by my guest today, Mazen Khamsia. Good morning, good evening to you, Mazen. We are delighted to welcome you back to the KBOO airwaves.
Thank you very much for having me on this show.
Oh, thank you so much. The message I have from you regarding the Christmas tree lighting and some of the other thoughts that that brings up. If you want to talk, could you talk a little bit about what you've been doing there? Some of the projects, the actions, the activities, and what you've been doing. It's a ray of light. It's really extraordinary, and it's something that's never reported.
Yes, and in Bethlehem, Manger Square, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people attended the Christmas tree lighting, which is a tradition to light the Christmas tree ahead of Christmas here. And the mayor of Bethlehem explained in her brief remarks that Bethlehem, while suffering, that we are reduced to using 13% of our land. 87% of our land is now gobbled up by the Israeli settlements. Despite all these horrors, despite the fact that Bethlehem is separated from its twin city, Jerusalem, which is only 5 miles away, and we cannot get to Jerusalem, and yet, there's a wall now between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, an apartheid wall. This kind of situation is unprecedented in the history of Bethlehem. Bethlehem has never been isolated from Jerusalem like this until the Israeli occupation. For 2,000 years, we have been basically a suburb of Jerusalem. And yet, I say, despite all of this, people celebrated the Christmas message, the message that Jesus brings, a Prince of Peace, that we ask that the world join us in this commemoration of peace and pushing for peace with justice, of course, because you can never have peace without justice. So we continue, and people here continue living, continue celebrating the life you want, despite all these incredible obstacles and odds that are put in front of us. People in the refugee camps even join the celebrations of Christmas, even though they are Muslim, and they join us in the celebration of Christmas. It is a hopeful time of year, I think, for many of us, hoping that things will change. So we continue to build while waiting for that, including, as you alluded to, building a natural history museum, building permanent agriculture, and so on and so forth.
And this is wonderful news, though. The Museum of Natural History there. You had, I understand from your message, hundreds of children from 14 schools, including a kindergarten, came to the museum, did some incredible things. This is going on, and yet it's not reported. And again, that's an artifact of the vicious apartheid that the Palestinian people are forced to live under. And yet, in the midst of that, still, you're doing this incredible work. Could you review briefly for us at Christmas time the some of what has gone on this year with the museum and some of your accomplishments and what you've brought to the Palestinian people and, in fact, indeed to the world, really?
Well, what we are trying to do with this museum and with the science festival that we called on the schools in the Bethlehem district to send children, and the children do experiments on their own, and they learn by doing, because there's an old Chinese saying that I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. So we want them to understand by doing things, and we find that that's the best method for them to work with animals and plants and do experiments and things like that until they themselves develop the understanding. They need the critical thinking and the questioning attitude, which are skills that they need to overcome the obstacles that we talked about earlier, because without that kind of different attitude, I say sometimes that the occupation is mostly mental, that if we get rid of the mental occupation, the physical occupation and colonization that we face will be easier to overcome. So that's what we are aiming for through this process of education. I'm excited about what we are doing, and mostly we're doing it with volunteers, you know, and with very limited funding. So we try to do what we can under, as I said, difficult circumstances, but there's always hope. And I think, you know, in Christmas we are reminded of these hopes, and we cannot just focus on politics. We have to focus on living. We have to focus on education. We have to focus on environmental conservation and all the other normal things that people should be focusing on.
Thank you so much for that. I understand you have a bit of a cold, and so we appreciate your voice all the more. It sounds fine to me. But thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for your words. This is what we want to tell the world. We want, at the same time, reminding the American people constantly that they are supporting a vicious, aggressive, brutal occupation. They are supporting an apartheid effort that, in certain places, Gaza, for example, is virtually the equivalent of ethnic cleansing, and that the Americans need to wake up right now and address this and call upon leaders to end the support for this regime. One of the most ghastly things in the world is seen in modern history, modern times. Thank you so much, Bazin. We're so glad to hear this. I'd love to, if I could share this with everyone. I really want people to hear what you're doing. It's such sharp contrast to what we generally hear in the way of news coming out of that part of the world. Most people don't realize that Bethlehem and Jerusalem are separated by the wall. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Bazin is off. We're very happy to have him on with cold and all that. We are also going to be speaking later this week to Ada Pecos Melton. As we stand in horror and actually hit the streets in outrage at failure to indict criminals, people who murdered other people, defenseless people, essentially, mainly for the crime of being a young African-American man. When we watch our this is perhaps the most stark example of the utter and complete failure of the American criminal justice system to do anything that remotely resembles justice. It's really about money. It's about skin color. So how much justice can you afford? Go down to the courthouse. Do you see anybody there that looks wealthy? No! You see people of color, you see bedraggled, sad, terrified families clutching the hands of their children or watching their loved ones being dragged through the mud of an ugly, vicious system which has morphed into something unrecognizable as justice. We're going to speak then, of course, with Ada Pecos Melton. She is a scholar of Indigenous justice systems, and she is right now actually testifying in D.C., which is why she couldn't make the show today. She has written an extraordinary piece, which you can find online. We'll post a link. And just to introduce you to her, she points out that in the American paradigm, the law is applied to an adversarial system that places two differing parties in the courtroom to determine a defendant's guilt or innocence, or to declare the winner or loser in a civil case. It focuses on one aspect of a problem, the act involved, which is discussed through adversarial fact-finding. The court provides a forum for testing the evidence presented. This is not how it works in indigenous systems. Indigenous justice paradigm is based on a holistic philosophy and a worldview where these systems are guided by an unwritten customary laws and traditions and practices learned primarily by example. It is not in any way adversarial. It does not set up these false dichotomies and essentially putting two people, two sides in a ring and duking it out, money being the winner. This is Beat Air Cascadia for Monday, December 8th, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Tune in to Talking Earth, a show dedicated to showcasing our local poetry scene. Join hosts Patrick Picard, Barbara Lamorticella, and Walt Curtis for Talking Earth on the second and third Mondays of each month from 10 to 11 p.m. More information can be found on kboo.fm under schedule.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center in Portland. The documentary film Shadows of Liberty reveal insider accounts of a broken media system with renowned journalists, activists, and academics, including Amy Goodman, Danny Glover, Julian Assange, Norman Solomon, Chris Hedges, and more. This film champions the idea of an independent media where truth and integrity are the norm, not the exception. Again, that's the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th, 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center, 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.